Welcome to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, broadcasting from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me now is Lloyd Metzger. He's an associate professor in dairy science at South Dakota State University and director of Midwest Dairy Foods Research Center. Lloyd Metzger, thanks so much for joining us on Innovation today.
No problem.
Happy to have you. So let's talk a little bit about the kinds of research that you do there with, you know, dairy and protein.
Yeah. Do a couple different general areas. About half the work I do ends up being related to cheese and cheese manufacture and how you make different types of cheese. And then the other half largely deals with dairy-based ingredients. And right now, most of those ingredients relate to protein concentrates. So I'm sure people have heard in the news or seen that there's really an increased demand for protein in our diets, and you've seen all kinds of trends where higher protein products have taken off. And as an example, Greek yogurt is one you hear about a lot because of its high protein content. People tend to consume it now.
And so then what, I mean, do you make, is it an additive that you help do research or what?
No, it's more, it's more about how you make the product. So, starting with milk, you have a lot of valuable nutrients that are in milk, but for some products, we want those nutrients in different ratios. So part of the manufacturing process is really a concentration step, or actually converting milk into a variety of different products that have the composition and characteristics that we want. So for example, when we make cheese, we're going to concentrate the fat and protein portion of milk and convert it into a product that tastes great and also melts and does all these neat things that we want cheese to do. As part of the cheese manufacturing process, for every pound of cheese you produce, you actually produce 9 pounds of whey. Now, in that whey, we have the carbohydrate lactose, but we also have one of the protein fractions that was present in the original milk, and then we further take that whey and process it to remove some of the carbohydrate and concentrate the protein. And then we get ingredients like whey protein concentrate. So if you look at a lot of the foods you consumed and looked at a nutrition label, you'll see whey protein concentrate or whey protein isolate that's an ingredient in a lot of the foods you eat.
And the difference between like a dairy protein concentrate or a soy protein concentrate is what?
Okay, so a dairy protein concentrate, the source of the protein is going to be from milk originally. And if it's a soy protein concentrate, the source of the protein is going to be from soy. Now, each protein has different amino acid profiles that relate to the nutritional quality of that protein. So dairy proteins have a very balanced and very beneficial amino acid profile, so they're very nutritionally superior compared to most other proteins. So that's why they get selected or preferred primarily based on their nutritional quality.
So we're seeing a lot of, you know, high protein diets to as a way to lose weight, and this is all part of the consumer demand?
Exactly. So as consumers have started to realize that they need to have more protein in their diet, they start to look for products that have more protein in them. So what I do is help manufacturers develop processes to either produce ingredients that are high in protein that you can use in those products, or to help people that actually manufacture products use those high protein ingredients and make the product taste the way we want to or have the texture that we want to, for example.
And give me an example of those products that you help with.
Okay, so for example, I'm sure you've seen some of the high protein beverages that are out there. There's products like Muscle Milk or Core Power, a product called Fit Pro. All of those products use a milk ingredient called milk protein concentrate or ultra-filtered milk. And to produce that product, you actually take milk and you go through a filtration process where you actually concentrate the protein and remove some of the lactose, which is the carbohydrate. So now you get basically a portion of milk that's very high in protein. And then when you make that into a beverage, you get a beverage now that has a much higher protein content than a normal milk would, for example. Now, when we make a Greek yogurt, we basically take regular yogurt and concentrate it further, actually remove more whey from it, and then we get a yogurt that basically has 2 or 3 times the protein of a normal yogurt. So eating the same serving of a Greek yogurt, for example, will have about 2 to 3 times as much protein as a regular yogurt would.
And our health benefits for having more protein or what?
Largely, it relates to, there's a whole variety of different studies in that area. But in general, protein are going to help you feel fuller, so there's some satiety effects. So if you eat quite a bit of protein, you're going to tend to want to eat less. But there's an indication that it really helps with your metabolism, and it helps you to actually burn off some of the fat that you're storing as you consume more protein. But again, a big portion of it is you're going to feel fuller if you're eating a lot of protein.
And I read a study that I think you were involved with that used not athletes to test this, but some of the dairy protein helped really build muscle in your
right.
So average person.
When you get into very specific performance athletes, for example, that they specifically need a lot of protein, and especially mm-hmm. if they're doing extensive exercise and after exercise as a post-recovery dairy-based proteins are very good to help your muscles recover and to help build muscle mass for your next time that you do exercise. So for athletes, there's very, very strong evidence that it's important to have higher protein in your diet. For the general consumer, not as much. It's more a weight management thing and, again, dealing with satiety.
And you're also in working on developing some proteins that are used for infant formula.
Yeah, exactly. So what we find out, the more we study milk, the more we find very unique components, especially different proteins that are present in milk. And the ratio of these proteins are slightly different in cow's milk than they are in human's milk. So what we're able to do is isolate certain proteins in cow's milk that we would like to have in higher concentration for infant formula. So one of those proteins is called alpha-lactalbumin, and human milk has a higher level of alpha-lactalbumin than cow's milk. So if we want to as closely simulate as possible infant formula, make it as similar to human milk as we can, what we do is take bovine milk and isolate the right protein fractions and then use them to create an infant formula that's very close to human breast milk.
And is this on the market?
Yes, that is on the market. And a company that's in our region or has a plant in our region is one of the leaders in developing that alpha-lactalbumin isolate. The company is Davisco. They're a division of AgriPure, and they actually have a manufacturing facility in Lake Norton, South Dakota.
And you are, you're kind of you're the go-to guy, right, for this kind of research and for this kind of assistance?
If it deals with processing of these ingredients and trying to figure out how you actually produce them and isolate them, we're very lucky at South Dakota State to have a really nice dairy processing facility. So we train students that work in dairy manufacturing, and we also have some state-of-the-art equipment in our pilot plant that allows manufacturers to come and test different processes for producing dairy-based ingredients. So we get companies from all over the United States that come to SDSU and do experimental work to try to figure out what's the best way to produce some of these products.
Produce, and do you get to help do the taste testing?
I do some of that too. I actually coach the judging team at South Dakota State. So every semester I get to train students how to taste ice cream, milk, butter, cheese, yogurt. It's a pretty good job to have.
And in tasting it, that's kind of subjective, but are you able to taste some of these proteins, or does it give a different kind of taste?
In general, dairy proteins are very bland. So if you just think of milk, and plain white milk really doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. So dairy proteins in general tend to be very bland and easy to put in products where we add flavors and make them taste very good, where you compare that to some of the other plant-based proteins like soy protein, for example, you'd tend to have a lot more off flavors in those plant-based proteins. So we're lucky in the dairy industry that we have very bland proteins, and it's really easy to make dairy products taste good.
And what's your number one tip for your student judges?
For my student judges? it's when it comes to judging, what's important is not what you like or what you think tastes good. We have certain criteria for products, and we expect them to taste a certain way. And everybody has a different opinion on what the best ice cream is or what the best yogurt is. And it doesn't really matter what you like. It's judging the product for the ideal product that we're looking for, even whether or not you like it.
Whether you like it or not.
So, for example, as an example, ice cream, there's a lot of different sweeteners you can use in ice cream. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ice creams have used corn syrup over the years as a sweetener. And if somebody has had that kind of ice cream for most of their life, they're going to get used to that sweet taste from corn syrup. And then when they taste an ice cream that isn't sweetened that way, they think it tastes wrong. But our official judging says corn syrup flavor is a defect and not a good thing in ice cream, even though they may be used to that taste and expect it.
And what is the sweetener used in SDSU ice cream?
We use straight sucrose. So the good thing, that's why that part of that ice cream tastes so good. The other thing we do with our SDSU ice cream is make sure we have a high fat content in it as well. The butter fat just tastes wonderful and gives you a really smooth, creamy mouthfeel that makes our ice cream taste so good.
Now, how has technology helped in all of this advancement in dairy protein?
What really has made a huge difference in the last about 15 to 20 years is the development of a technology called membrane processing. And what it is you have a membrane that has pores in it, and these pores allow you to separate components in milk based on their size. So the carbohydrate that's in milk, lactose, is very small, whereas the proteins in milk are very large. So what you do is take milk and pump it through this system where the membrane separates the protein from the carbohydrate and the water. And so what it allows you to do is separate the protein portion from the carbohydrate portion, and when we want to make a really high protein component, we can do it with filtration technology. The real advantage of filtration technology is you don't add any chemicals to milk, you don't do anything that sounds scary or do anything to damage the milk. It's simply pumping the milk and using a filter to separate components based on size. So it's a very clean, easy process that doesn't damage the milk at all, and it allows us to isolate different components that are present in the milk.
And does the diet of the cow that you milk have an impact?
It absolutely does. Even the breed and type of cow will affect the milk composition that you start with, and that's going to have an effect on the characteristics of the product that you produce. So, for example, Jersey cattle tend to have more butterfat and more protein in their milk.
So you can't really mix it all together?
No, you do generally mix, co-mingle all that milk together. And when we make a product, we actually standardize the fat and protein content. So we have a cream separator that we can remove fat and then to adjust the fat content. And then for protein adjustment, that's where we use that filtration process that I talked about to be able to standardize the protein to an exact level that we want. So the cream separator, for example, is how you get whole milk, or you get 2% fat milk or 1% fat milk or skim milk.
Okay. What do you think is going to be the next big thing? Right now all the focus is on more protein in our diet, more protein in our diet. Where are we headed?
I hope we stay with the protein thing for a while. And based on the science around the protein, it's not really a short-term trend. It is something that is important. Especially, again, if you're talking high-performance athletes, it's absolutely critical. But the other place it's really important is as we get older, it's very important to maintain our muscle mass if we want to keep our mobility as we get older. So I think you're going to see more of a trend where we've kind of ignored the need for extra protein as we age, and you're going to see that start to change. And just with our aging population, I think it's going to be that much more important in the future as well.
And it's more than just drinking milk.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with drinking milk. It's got a lot of good protein in, but we can take components of milk that have a lot higher protein content and make other products where we've basically improved our milk.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Innovation today and talking about this and the technology. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Lloyd Metzger is an associate professor in dairy science at South Dakota State University and also the director of the Midwest Dairy Foods Research Center. When we come back, we're going to get an update on a concussion study that's happening here in Sioux Falls, and we'll talk with Dr. Thane Muntz about what's happening with that. You're listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.